You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I think that the challenge is that suicide prevention is far more complex than perhaps has been conveyed in sort of mainstream media. And I think the problem has been conceptualised as being solely a mental health problem, when the drivers of suicide are far more complex than that, and they are linked to really well-known factors like social deprivation, exposure to violence, alcohol use and misuse, those sorts of things. So I think once we start to, as a society, understand that suicide is much more complex than just the result of a mental health problem, we can start bringing the rate down.
And so how do you tackle something that is so multifaceted?
Well, I think the first thing actually is to get communications out there and raise the public awareness of the nature of the problem. And then the solution, much of the solution lies, not just with government agencies, but with individuals, with families, with, friendship groups or communities, to, be alert to just to signs of distress, not suicidal distress, but just when, when people are a bit down, for example, or a bit off their game, and we start to, ask after them and be more supportive. I know that sounds a bit simple, but I think actually it's a really important step.
And do you think that's something that, as New Zealanders, we in particular struggle with?
No, I don't think so. I think, for New Zealand men, perhaps they're not as, I know that it's stereotypical, but I think it's also, it might be one of the reasons that the suicide rates in men is so high and of such concern, is that we're not so good at sharing our feelings, at talking about how we feel and at supporting vulnerability.
And so talking about how there are obviously certain demographics that are overrepresented, how do you plan to address the overrepresentation of certain groups, such as particularly young Māori men?
I think it's important that the needs of those disproportionately represented, groups are identified specifically. And I think there is a lot of knowledge out there about the whys, and in my view, the solution lies in resourcing, communities and thought within those communities to come up with the solutions that are culturally appropriate and safe.
What sort of room does the strategy plan leave for perhaps tikanga Māori approaches?
I think there's enormous potential. I think the importance of supporting Māori to work, with Māori communities to, develop their own programs and interventions is implicit in Every Life Matters. The Tūramarama Declaration is specifically referred to in the strategy. So I think there's enormous potential, and that's probably one of the big points of difference of this strategy compared to previous ones.
And so you spoke about the strategy there being called Every Life Matters, which I was wondering how the strategy intends to show that and manifest that motto.
I guess that motto underpins our work in that, we talk a lot about numbers and rates, and what's important to remember is that behind those rates and numbers is a life that's been lost and a family and a community that's been devastated. So I think that knowledge informs the work. And one of the roles of the office is obviously to operationalise that action plan. So there's an action plan, and, that's one of obviously the priorities. I've been in this job for like 3 weeks, so one of my priorities is to work out, the work plan so that we can start taking the actions.
What do you sort of see as your main struggles ahead of you over the next few years in this position?
I think public expectation will need to be managed, because the complexity of suicide and its drivers, I don't expect that the rate will drop in the next year or two. It may even take longer. I don't want to get too speculative or be too pessimistic, but the reality is it will take the rate some time to come down. And I think managing the public expectation around that will be important. I think it's very important that we start ensuring there are informed and safe communications in the public domain around the drivers of suicide, because I don't think that the public narrative is particularly well informed in that regard. And I think once people start to understand better the drivers of suicide and what it's going to take to bring the rate down, then people will be in a much better position to contribute. Because the rate will only come down if, you know, individuals as well as government departments get behind the action plan. You know, that's something that won't be achieved if it's left just to government departments.
And so just lastly, I wanted to ask, I understand prior to this you worked for 12 years with the coroner, and I was wondering how that expertise is assisting you in this job.
I think, you know, suicides make up a really high percentage of the work of coroners. So after 12 years of investigating, you know, literally hundreds of suicides, I guess I have a really good insight into the really different contexts that give rise to suicides. So I think that helps me in my role because I have seen that suicides, in fact, don't most often occur amongst those that are mentally ill, but rather, you know, there's a whole lot of other drivers. So I think that experience has served me really well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.